first of tonight's speakers here is Mona.
Thank you, Shirley.
Hello, my name's Mona, and I'm a very grateful recovering addict. And, goodness me, I'm grateful today because there is a word that I can use to describe my illness, which is addiction. And for many, many years, I just thought, I really, really believed that I was waiting for a spaceship to come and take me to my home planet because I just did not fit in. I felt nobody understood me. I isolated so much as a child. I chose to spend time sat in the cemetery because I liked the calmness and the stillness. So I got the label of weirdo from a very young age. If I could put a song to my life, it would be Radiohead Creep, definitely. But my childhood, I grew up in care because my parents were both addicts and very unmanageable, and they didn't have any knowledge about the fellowship. So I ended up in care. And my childhood involved lots of people coming into my life, getting slightly stable, and then leaving me again, and then feeling abandoned. And from a very young age, I considered myself to be very hypervigilant, always looking for the door. The door is over there, the staircase is up there, and there is an emergency exit at the back of the room, in case you didn't know. And the toilets are there, just in case I really need to go. But, you know, I spent my childhood looking for ways out. Very hypersensitive. I feel like I came into this realm without the extra layers to protect myself. Mary asked me just before the meeting started, how am I feeling? And I was trying to explain. It's like somebody's turned up an amplifier and you've got a massive feedback coming from every direction at the beginning of a meeting. That's what it feels like. I feel everything coming in every direction, that anxiety, that buzz. And as the readings are read, the calmness comes. And then normally I'm sat over there listening to the sharer and then I'm calmed down completely. So that's how I felt most of my childhood, all the time, that noise. And you have to bear with my nonsense for a little while because I have to wait for my everything to come, stop from my head and go down to my heart because my heart is more intelligent than my head. My head lies to me. My head has been programmed all of my life to make me think and feel and to behave and to react in certain ways. And I act through fear when I listen to my head. But if I connect to my heart, I connect with my love for everybody. And then I can channel myself and I can focus and I can get honest because all of my insecurities leave me. It's like letting go of a layer. Okay, I'm insecure about that. I'm insecure about the way I look. I'm insecure about the way I sound. I'm insecure about what you all think about me. That all goes. And then I connect with you all as addicts. And, my first thing that I'd use when I was younger to change the way I felt and to make myself feel safe, I think, was food from a young age. Sugar, one of my first drugs that I picked up, or mood-altering substances. And I obsessed over getting sugar. I'd hang out with friends that had houses where they were allowed to go and help themselves to sweetie jars. So I manipulated friends to get sugar from a young age. And also danger. I was addicted to danger. I would do crazy things when I was a child. Like run across railway tracks, break into the house down the road, and do ridiculous things. And I got off on that fear of the unknown, that buzz, that fear, that adrenaline. And then it just progressed from there. And from a young age, I remember two things that really stick in my mind, and that's one television thing. That was a campaign called Don't Die of Ignorance, the big aid thing that happened when I was younger. And the other one was Just Say No, which was an anti-drugs campaign. And I became an addict, and I'm HIV positive. So it's like those two things that really resonated within me when I was younger, and here I am now, a HIV-positive woman who's also an addict in recovery. But, my using started alcohol, I guess the substances that I could get, drinking, drink I really liked because it made me, first of all, it was naughty and I wasn't allowed to do it, but I think that's what got me into it. And also, growing up watching everyone else around me drinking through what I saw flashed from television, from all of the grown-ups experiencing them drinking, it just looked so appealing, shoving shots, cowboy films at the bar, shoving whiskies down. I just, wow, I want to do that. alcohol was my first love. Now, I now look at all of the substances I've abused in my life as partners, where I'd have an affair with, fall madly in love with, then it would stabilise, and then it would go into a really toxic, codependent relationship. And then I would have to divorce that person or that drug and move on to the next one. Alcohol was my first love. And then it was, I think, marijuana, and which I spent long amounts of my time sat on my own, looking in a mirror, singing into the mirror, Doors songs with candles burning, isolating. And it just accelerated. LSD, all the party drugs. I was young enough to get involved in the underground party scene and the traveller scene. So I can look back and I can say I really, really enjoyed quite a lot of that period for me, escaping from conformism and escaping from the system. And, you know, it was a beautiful lifestyle for a while until heroin. I discovered heroin, and that was the one thing that floored me. That was the one drug that I started to take where I started to feel sick. And I thought, well, there's something very different here to all the other substances where I'd just come down or I'd be hungover. And that's when my personality changed completely. That's when I started doing things that I thought I'd never do to get my drugs. And the drug that floored me was crack cocaine. It was like a natural progression. Crack cocaine, that was the one really that got me to where I'm sitting now, because I ended up on my hands and knees in my flat, naked, with my ear to the floorboards, listening for when my neighbours were going to come up to shoot me, because they told me they were going to kill me, and I was just waiting. I was in psychosis all the time. And my daughter at the time was 8. My daughter, who I couldn't clothe or feed properly, I would put her in front of a PlayStation game so I could go into the kitchen and smoke crack. I was not emotionally available for her, and I was just repeating all the things that my parents had did, which is the reason why I ended up in care. And I had a moment, and I forgot about this for years, but I had a moment I forgot to asking for help. That was when I called for help. And I'm not a religious person. I'm a very spiritual person. And I reached up to something, an energy, something higher than myself at that point, and I just begged, please help me. I can't do this anymore. And I believe that when you're consciously aware that what you're doing is wrong, you get two options. You can carry on doing it, and you go further down the wrong path, and you're just like consuming more and more negativity and attracting more darkness into your life. Or you can go through that painful part of surrendering, putting your hands up, saying, I know what I'm doing is wrong, please somebody help me. And even if it's, you have to be really humble and get down on your knees and look at all of your behaviours, that is the right path. It took me years to discover that. I was told it. When I was in India, I went to India to clean up, and I ended up in the foothills of the Himalayas smoking opium. But I met a holy man who and I, at the time I smuggled terrorists back into the country, I add. I met a holy man who just came up to me and just said, you're on the wrong path, sister. You shouldn't be with this man. That, oh my goodness. And I forgot, it's only in recovery that I remember all of these amazing, I believe that our life is things that happen for a reason. They're like dots. And it's like I have awakenings. So every time I look back and things that happened, and I think, wow, that makes sense now. And it's only in recovery. Now, I ended up in a treatment centre, and my daughter ended up in care. And I remember being so scared because it was the first time I'd ever not had a substance in me for so long. I thought I was clean because I was drinking and I wasn't taking crack. I'm clean. Or I was on a massive pharmaceutical script. I wasn't smoking heroin and crack. I'm clean, but I wasn't. And, I it was only when I really was detoxed in a treatment centre in Wiltshire that I, wow, oh boy, was I absolutely terrified. But that was the closest I think I've ever come to my higher power, because I totally surrendered. I got down on my hands and knees in the chapel and freaked everyone out in the room. It was a sing-along thing that happened on a Friday. And then I put my hands up and everybody thought I was insane. But something happened through being humble and just saying, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks of me. What matters is I connect with myself and I have no fear. And my whole recovery, I've tried to remember certain things that I've done that have helped me. I came back to London. Everybody said, don't go back to London, it's evil. Stay in the countryside, you're a hippie, come on. But I knew that this was facing all my demons in London. And I did the geographical thing. If you move away, you move away. You know, you face yourself. Mm. And I was really blessed because I came back and the fellowship is so strong in London. We are so blessed. Where I was doing treatment, it was literally a minibus for miles and miles to get to 3 meetings a week. And that's something I think is a major part of my recovery. The fellowship is strong. There's so much love. And there's people that have reached out to me and offered help, but not because they want something from me. In the past, somebody had come to my door and asked for something, but it was because they needed something. And that's the way that I always, you know, acted. And that trust thing I've learned to do through getting a sponsor, doing as many meetings as possible. And right at the beginning when I came in and I was terrified, I couldn't hear what everyone was saying, but I could feel. I could feel the energy change from the beginning of the meeting to the end. And that's what I connected with. I connected with something that happens. For me, that is the magic that's kept me coming back to meetings and working the steps, slowly doing the steps, realising I'm powerless. And my addiction isn't just substances. Now, I put down the substance. I picked up the fridge. I picked up men. I picked up so many things. You know, for me, when I was first in treatment and I've stopped using substances, stepped away from a 15-year relationship, my mojo came back. And it had been there for years, and I thought I was mad in love with this person. And it was just my confusion, because I was feeling again. You know, and I thought that this person was sent down from the universe to be with me. But that's what I was like, and I obsessed over men for a long, long time. Because it was that energy that I connected with, and it was intense, and I couldn't articulate it. I mean, to the point where, obsession. That was my higher power for a long time, because the universe had put this person in front of me, obviously, because I was feeling again, and I was connected with my heart to somebody else who was also connecting with their heart. But thank you for touching my... I did ask, touching my knee, because I'm like a horse galloping off to the sunset when I share. I forget where I am. But, recovery. Oh, my God. So much, and I'm so grateful. I really, really am. And I try to work the steps in my life today. And what the fellowship has given me, and the steps and the traditions have given me, is the ability to pause, because I react really fast, and I want to reach out. And now I just pause, and I breathe, and I think things, and I try to think about the step that's appropriate. Okay, well, step one, yeah, okay, step two, step three, step four. Oh, I mean, this defect of character, so it's not really your fault. I reacted when I can actually feel human again. I hope somebody got something from my chaos. As I say, I am very grateful. I'm grateful that I know that I'm an addict today. I'm grateful for the fellowship, and I'm very grateful, thank you, Charlie, for giving me the opportunity to share. Thank you. Thank you.